I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the economic downturn is forcing many families to cut back, but how much should the kids know about all that? The Mocha Moms talk about that in a few minutes. But first, the McCain and Obama campaigns have found something to agree on, that the latest New Yorker magazine cover is tasteless and offensive. It's a caricature of a turban-clad Senator Barack Obama in the Oval Office sharing a fist bump with his wife, Michelle, who's sporting a huge afro, military fatigues, and an AK-47. Oh, and for good measure, a picture of Osama bin Laden hangs over a mantle, and the American flag burns in the fireplace. The cover has sparked discussion all over the blogosphere and the rest of the media. The question is, how far is too far when it comes to political satire? Here to talk about all of this, George Curry, former editor of Emerge magazine, a now defunct political magazine that is still remembered for its provocative covers, and Richard Prince, author of Journalism. It's an online publication about diversity in the news business. Welcome to you both. Thanks for stopping.
Thanks, Michelle.
Richard, I'm going to start with you. David Remnick, the editor of The New Yorker, spoke to our colleague Michelle Norris on All Things Considered yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
And I think the over-the-topness of all these images is also meant to push you and to make you laugh, a kind of maybe a nervous laugh or some kind of laugh at this image about how over-the-top it is, but also to think. Barry Blitt had something to say, who's the artist, and by me publishing it, I agree with him, that these are awful lies about the Obamas.
Richard, I take it a lot of people aren't laughing.
They certainly are not laughing. They're saying, what was the New Yorker thinking with this? It does make people think, it does make people comment, but not about what Remick intended. It makes people think about the New Yorker and what was on their minds. It undermines the whole purpose of satire, which is to focus in on a target and make you think about it. When you become the object of the conversation instead of what you're writing about or illustrating, it just doesn't work.
George, you are a former editor. As I said, you're currently a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, but you're also a former president of the American Society of Magazine Editors, so you have a lot of grounding in this. What's your take on the cover?
Well, I kind of have two standards. One is I don't think it's fair game for the spouse of a public official unless they happen to be Bill Clinton, which who can inspire a lot of cartoons on his own. The other part of it is, this is political satire. If you're a public official, then be prepared for it. So if you want to deal with Obama, yeah. Michelle, no. My first reaction when I saw the cartoon was, boy, when I saw the Muslim outfit and Obama's a Christian, I said, boy, that's trouble. Then I saw the AKA with Michelle, and I said, that's trouble. But I saw her with Afro. I said, oh, they've really lost it now. They don't know. You don't mess with sister's hair. And I knew that was going to be the one element that propelled this thing completely aboard everything.
Now I kind of have a fro, so I'm a little hurt by this. What are you saying, that it's not an acceptable hairstyle?
Look, I'm a stain. You know, when he calls the sisters nappy-headed hoes, you know, which is terrible within itself. Each one of my sisters had a perm, had spent a lot of money on that perm. And if anybody looked nappy hair, it was Imus. Mm-hmm. You know? And so sisters are funny about the hair. Most of them don't have natural, as you know. I have three sisters, Chris, Charlotte, and Sue. If I were to run something that was about hair, negative on Emerge when I was editor of Emerge, they would have led the boycott.
As I said, your magazine Emerge, which focused on politics and policy relevant to African Americans, it was published by BET. It was known for some provocative covers. You had one where Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was once depicted with a rag on his head, a so-called handkerchief head. Now, that's a reference which we would take some time to decode if you're not familiar with it. But another time he was depicted as a lawn jockey. Did you ever get this kind of outcry?
Sure,
was it more intense depending on who the subject was?
Well, first of all, mine was accurate. That was not satire. I mean, Clarence Thomas never met a civil rights law that he liked. So, you know, I was going for the juggler, of course. In this case, though, the first time we ran him with an Auntie Mama knot, which is based on Auntie Mama image of a subservient Negro who willingly accepts second-class status. And interestingly enough, the comments were split 50-50 because they didn't really understand who Clarence Thomas was. And the people, really, the way the thing came about, and this is what you have to understand about these crazy covers, you never know how they come up. And I was in a meeting with Flo Purnell, my managing editor. I said, what's the story about? And basically, they had gone to people who had supported Clarence in the past. And she said, well, they'll basically call him a handkerchief head. And I started laughing. She said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. She said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. And that's how we came up with the concept.
Richard, George said that the reaction to some of his more provocative covers, accurate or not, was a split 50-50.
The first time.
Is that what you're getting on your site?
I'm getting basically negative. And one of the differences between this Clarence Thomas cover and this one is, in the Clarence Thomas cover, it was very obvious who the target was. He was right there in the image. In the New Yorker cover, the target is supposed to be the people who are actually holding the magazine. And that's why it doesn't work. If they had perhaps had someone looking at this particular assemblage, a Karl Rove type, for example, people would get it, that this is a satire on Karl Rove. Now they're looking at it and they're saying, who's the target? There's no target. They're just making fun of Obama and Michelle.
But does anybody really think that the New Yorker magazine thinks that Obama is a Muslim with a secret passion for Osama bin Laden and that Michelle is a gun-toting revolutionary?
It doesn't make any difference whether they think that or not. First of all, magazine covers circulate far outside the intended audience. You see them as you pass on the newsstand. They can be cut, and somebody said, I can see this being cut up and pasted on the side of a pickup truck with a Confederate flag. I mean, non-New Yorker readers will see this, people in doctor's office, wherever. So they may not get it. And especially if it's so subtle that, as I said, that the intended target is not pictured.
You really think it's subtle, though?
Well, according to Remick, it's subtle because they're making fun of somebody who's not there.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with editor George Curry and writer Richard Prince about the latest cover of the New Yorker magazine that depicts Barack Obama as a Muslim and his wife Michelle as an angry revolutionary with a fro that she never has apparently worn. But George, what responsibility do you think media outlets should have when it comes to respecting the sensitivities of their audience? Of course, I'm thinking about the controversy over the Danish cartoons of the Islamic prophet Muhammad, and which sparked, you know, protests around the world, and the newspaper that originally published them and those that followed said that they were trying to make a point about free speech. But other people said, you know what, it's disrespectful when you're being gratuitously hurtful. Do you think that publishers have a responsibility to consider the sensitivities of their audience, especially given that with your magazine, there are people who didn't think that, they thought it was hurtful.
They thought it was hurtful. Then the second round, which is why I said they were split the first time. The first time, the second round, I got 90% support. And you were too light on Clarence Thomas when we ran him as a lawn jockey. You look, as an editor, you take bold stance with cover. If you're a small magazine like I was, with The Merge, how else are you going to get the word out there? You want people talking about your magazines. And I think this is what people have to understand about magazines is like, yeah, I agree with Dick. They tried it. They missed a point. It was not effective. But do they have a right to do it? Absolutely. Political satire? Absolutely. And do they have a right to fail? They have an absolute right to do that. But you make the stand.
You think it fails? You don't think it fails? You don't think it succeeds as satire?
The fact that it puts on the politics of fear, head to heading, and all the other things, I don't think it's that effectively. I don't think it's that effective. Obviously, we have this kind of discussion as well.
You think it matters that the New Yorker magazine is a, I don't know how else to put it this way, a white magazine? It's published mainly by white people whose audience is mainly white, and that it's perceived as kind of an outsider taking on a, even though Barack Obama's and his wife are clearly mainstream public figures at this point. Do you think that matters, whereas it emerges as an African-American-oriented publication critiquing an African-American in terms that are familiar to African-Americans? Do you think that makes a difference? I'd like to ask both of you, Richard.
It makes some difference, but that's not the main difference. Because first of all, they're not critiquing Obama and Michelle. They're critiquing the audience. And the other point is that it's the New Yorker magazine. It's not Mad Magazine. If this were Mad Magazine, or they had an old publication called The Realist, which was known for this kind of thing, for being outrageous, people would look at it and say, aha, there they go again. That's them. The New Yorker doesn't usually do this. So that's what makes a difference. So then people are free to interpret the New Yorker's motives in any way they want.
But remember, about 15 years ago, they had another cover that got a lot of attention. It was a Valentine's Day cover, a Hasidic Jew kissing a black woman at a time when there was a lot of tension between these two communities in New York. Isn't it the same thing, or is it not the same thing?
No.
Let's not get away from the idea. The idea is to be provocative. Mm-hmm. It's not to get pats on the back, obviously. You're most likely to get kicks in the behind. And that's a chance you take. You take a chance if you're editor of a magazine and say, I'm going to be provocative. I'm going to get people's attention. Everybody's not going to agree, but that's the whole idea in the first
place. But isn't that, by that standard, hasn't it succeeded? We're talking about it.
Well, if that's your yardstick on that one, yes, I would say so. But in terms of really talking about the people who lie about Barack Obama's image, or lying about Michelle's image, that discussion is not all that active around it.
Yeah, they've got some very serious pieces inside the publication one that runs like 18 pages. No one is talking about that. I mean, all they're talking about is they're talking about boycotts and that kind of thing.
So do you think that this is a one-day story, partly because it's summer and there's a little bit of a lull in the campaign, or do you think this is the kind of thing that is – I guess what I'm asking is this the story or is this reflective of some other story, George?
No, this will be a story anytime, any month, you name it. This will be a story. Like I said, the problem I have with it is that the Michelle is included in it. I don't think that's fair game. I think Barack, if you want to do it, he's a public figure, fair game. The spouses, unless you're Bill Clinton, keep him out of it.
Even though the Muslim garb is meant to is in direct contradiction of a point that he's trying to make.
Absolutely,
still think
but
it's fair.
He's a public figure. If once you're a public figure, black, white, or polka dot, be prepared. Mm-hmm. But she's not entitled to that.
Richard, final thought.
Well, I think that it's part of a continuing narrative of the campaign. Whether it will last a couple of more days depends on what else happens. I know Jesse Jackson, for example, is very happy this happened.
Taking his faux pas right. off the pages and off of our discussion points. Richard Prince is author of Journalisms. That's an online publication about diversity issues in the news business. And George Curry, former editor of Emerge magazine, a former president of the American Society of Magazine Editors. He's currently a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. They were both kind enough to join me in our Washington studio. Gentlemen, thank you both so much.
Thank you,
Michelle.